Finally, the Lord, He embraced Vasudeva Thakur and began to glorify as if He had 1,000 mouths. Right? As I said, at places mentioned, as the Lord has 5 mouths, 100 mouths. Vasudeva Thakur glories are so great, it's mentioned as if He has thousands of mouths. So, when Vasudeva Thakur, He heard Lord glorifying Him, right, He became very ashamed, became very embarrassed, right, out of His natural humility, and then he caught hold of Lord's lotus feet and He prayed. So, what is the prayer of Vasudeva Thakur? Jagat tarite Prabhu tomar avatar. मोर निवेदन एक कराह अंगीकार करीते समर्थ तुमी हो दयामय तुमी मन करत बेहनाया से है जीवेरा दुख देखी मोर हृदय बिदरे सर्व जीवेरा पाप प्रभु देह मोर शिरे
Vasudatta told Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, My dear Lord, you incarnate just to deliver all conditioned souls. I now have one petition which I wish you would accept. My Lord, you are certainly able to do whatever you like and you are indeed merciful. If you so desire, if you can very easily do whatever you want. My Lord, my heart breaks to see the suffering of all conditioned souls. Therefore, I request you to transfer the karma of their sinful lives upon my head.
Okay, so Vasudeva Thakur has offered a very unique prayer. He says, please accept one prayer, you can do anything you want. So therefore you can accept my prayer. What is that? He says, my heart breaks. Right? My heart breaks to see the suffering of all living entities. Therefore, give all the sinful reaction of all living entities on my head. Sarv jivera paap prabhu deha mora shire. He said, what are you talking of? What will you do by taking such heavy amount of sinful reactions? Right? Then Vasudeva Thakur says, jivera paap lai amui karu narak bhog. सकल जीवेरा प्रभु घुचाह भवरोग
Lord, let me suffer perpetually in the hellish condition, accepting all sinful reactions of all living entities. Please finish their diseased material life.
Okay, so he says, I will eternally suffer in hell, perpetually, right? Of all sinful reactions of all the living entities given my head, I will suffer perpetually in the hellish condition. And you please deliver all the living entities from the disease of material existence, right? So he's not just asking that please destroy their sinful reactions. He's saying their material existence should end, right? They all should be liberated from the material existence. That means they may have no more tendency to get sinful reactions. Right? So this prayer of Vasudeva Thakur is very unique. Right? You can draw a small comparison to understand the magnanimity of Vasudeva Thakur. Just imagine that you are traveling on Indian Railways during the vacation time. You know, vacation time will begin. Vacation time is especially toward Delhi side. There is a lot of North India to travel toward Vrindavan, Mathura, or, you know, during the Diwali holidays or during summer holidays. The train is so jam-packed. Right? People are sleeping everywhere on the floor. Right? So, now, one passenger's karma may be that he may not have seat, he may have a sleepless night, right, due to his karma or whatever. So can we say, okay, I take your karma, you take my seat, I will have a sleepless night? Right? Just imagine to take karma of one living entity for one night. You know, our heart will break. In one sense. Right? It's not easy to take karma of one living entity for one night actually for us. Right? To say, okay, I will have a sleepless night. Either I'll sleep on the floor or I will pass the night standing. You take my seat. Right? I want to take that karma of yours. Right? If someone is suffering from malaria or whatever, you say, okay, you know, let me have malaria, you become healthy. You know, so even to take karma of one living entity is actually not, we can't from the heart say, if we are sure that will actually happen, if we say, then we may not be able to say that. Right? It's not easy that way. Now imagine the karma of all the living entities, of all the sins. Can you imagine? Vasudeva Thakur actually means it, I will take everyone's karma, I will suffer perpetually in hell, all the suffering come to me, but they should be liberated. Right? So therefore, Vasudeva Thakur's compassion is like an ocean, very deep, very unique, unheard actually. So Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur has given very beautiful purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives the following commentary on this verse. Read the first paragraph.
In Western countries, Christians believe that Lord Jesus Christ, their spiritual master, appeared in order to eradicate all the sins of his disciples. To this end, Lord Jesus Christ appeared and disappeared. Here, however, we find that Sri Vasudeva Thakur and Sri Haridas Thakur to be many millions of times more advanced even when compared with the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ relieved only his followers from all sinful reactions. But Vasudeva is here prepared to accept the sins of everyone in the universe. So the comparative position of the Vasudeva is million times better than that of the Lord Jesus Christ. A Vaishnava is so liberal that he is prepared to risk everything to rescue the conditioned souls from the material existence. Srila Vasudeva Thakur is universal love itself, for he was willing to sacrifice everything and fully engage in the service of the Supreme Lord.
Okay, so Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he doesn't want to minimize the position of Lord Jesus Christ, but he gives a comparison that Krishna knows that who will become the follower of Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ will take the sins of that person, right? But Vasudeva Thakur, he is ready to accept the sinful reaction of all the living entities in the entire universe. Not just that, the further has been explained. Second paragraph, third line. Lord Jesus Christ certainly finished the sinful reaction of his followers by his mercy, but that doesn't mean he completely delivered them from the pangs of material existence. Right? He only finished the sinful reaction, but then it is explained that a person may be relieved from the sin, but he has a tendency to commit sin again and again and implicate himself again and again. Right? But Srila Vasudeva Thakur prayer is not simply to take away the sinful reaction. So as pointed out in the middle of the second paragraph, Srila Vasudeva Dutta wanted to completely relieve the conditioned souls from material existence so that they would no longer have the opportunity to commit sinful acts. This is the significant difference between Srila Vasudeva Thakur and Lord Jesus Christ. It is a great offense to receive pardon for sins and then commit the same sins again. Such an offense is more dangerous than the sinful activity itself. Vasudeva Dutta was so liberal that he requested Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to transfer all offensive activity upon him so that the conditioned soul would be purified and go back home, back to Godhead. This prayer was certainly without duplicity. Right? So he made this prayer without any duplicity, not thinking that the Lord, you know, will say, no, why will I give you? He actually wanted to have it and suffer perpetually for all the sinful action of all living entities. Right? Just like Sanat Kumar was saying that day, there may be some people who may say, I am very fallen, or I am very low, I am not very intelligent, but you tell him, okay, this is the way you should act, this is the place where you are going wrong, that they will not accept. Right? When you correct, they will say, I am very low and fallen, But when they are corrected, they cannot accept the correction. Right? So it is out of duplicity, people all sometime they may say that I am very low, I am very fallen, right, etc. Or they may pretend to be humble, but actually when asked, when someone corrects them, immediately they are exposed. Right? So therefore he pointed out that this prayer of Vasudeva Dutta Thakur is certainly without any duplicity. Certainly without any duplicity. So therefore this is very unique. As pointed out in the third paragraph, Vasudeva Dutta example is unique not only within this world but within the universe. It is beyond the conception of fluid vectors or the speculation of mundane philosophers. Right? So it is not, this is not any kind of philanthropic work actually, you know. It is beyond their conception, this kind of prayer. As pointed out, if you go in the middle of the paragraph, he was far, far above philanthropist, right? Vasudeva Dutta Thakur. He was far, far above philanthropists, philosophers and foodie actors. He was the most exalted personality to ever show mercy to the conditioned souls. Right? This is not an exaggeration of his transcendental qualities. It is perfectly true. Actually, there cannot be any comparison to Vasudeva Dutta. Right? So his compassion was so unlimited, so deep, that it cannot be compared to anyone. There is no duplicity. There can be no personality like him who has ever shown such compassion to the living entities. As a perfect Vaishnava, he was paradukha-dukhi, very much aggrieved to see others suffer. The entire world is purified simply by the appearance of such great devotee. Indeed, by his transcendental presence, the whole world is glorified and all the conditioned souls are also glorified. As Anuttam Das Thakur confirms, Vasudeva Dutta Thakur is the ideal devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Kaurangera Sanghi Gane Nitya Siddha Kuri Kari Mane Seyaye Vrajendra Sutapas. One who executes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission must be considered eternally liberated. He is a transcendental person and does not belong to this material world. Such a devotee engaging in the deliverance of the total population is as magnanimous as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself. So therefore Vasudeva Dutta Thakur, he offered this amazing prayer to the Lord. Edashuni Mahaprabhu Chitta Dravila Ashru Kampa Swara Bhange Kahite Lagila Tomara Vichitra Nahe Tumi Sakshat Pralan Tomara Upare Krishnera Sampuna Prasad Krishna Sai Satyakare Yei Mage Bhritya Bhritya Vancha Purti Vinu Nahi Anya Kritya Brahmanda Jivera Tumi Vanchile Nistar Vina Papa Bhoge Habe Sabara Udhar.
Then the Mahaprabhu heard Vasudeva Dutta's statement. His heart became very soft. Tears flowed from his eyes and he began to tremble. In a faltering voice, he spoke as follows. Accepting Vasudeva Dutta as a great devotee, the Lord said, such a statement is not at all astonishing because you are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. It appears that Lord Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. There is no doubt about it. Whatever a pure devotee wants from his master, Lord Krishna doubtlessly grants because he has no duty other than to fulfill the desire of his devotees. If you desire the deliverance of all living entities within the universe, then all of them can be delivered even without your undergoing the tribulation of sinful activity.
Okay, so the Lord, when he heard this prayer, his heart softened, tear came from his eyes. His body began to tremble and his voice also was breaking in between. He was unable to talk. Can you imagine? So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is himself ocean of compassion, he has been moved to tears He is unable to speak. Right? Just imagine what would be the feelings of the Lord's heart. Right? What kind of prayer this has made, that this has moved the Lord to tears. He is unable, his voice is getting choked up while he is speaking. Right? The Lord is unable to speak, being moved by the compassion of Vasudeva Dutta. Right? So the ocean of the Lord Himself is the ocean of compassion. That ocean of compassion has been agitated, right, by this prayer of Vasudeva Dutta Thakur. Right? So the Lord in a faltering voice, he spoke that it is not astonishing your qualities are similar to that of Prahlad. Right? Tumi Sakshat of Prahlad. You are the incarnation of Prahlad Maharaj. And upon you, Krishna has bestowed complete mercy upon you. And then the Lord says, Krishna has no other duty to perform except to fulfill the desire of his devotees. And therefore, he must fulfill your desire. Since you have desired so, all the living entities in this entire universe will be liberated by your prayer, by your desire. And you will not have to suffer. Vina paap bhoge habe sabhar sabhar udhar. You will not have to suffer the sinful reactions of them. Right? 168. Asamarthana he Krishna dhare sarvabal. Tumakke vakene bunjaive paap phal. Tumi arahit vancha sehela Vaishnav. Vaishnavera Pab Krishna Dura Kare Sab.
Krishna is not incapable, for he has all potencies. Why would he induce you to suffer the sinful reactions of other living entities? Whosoever welfare you desire, immediately become a Vaishnava, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from the reactions of their past sinful reactions.
Read the purport.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu here informed Vasudeva Dutta that since Krishna is all-powerful, he can immediately deliver all conditioned souls from the material existence. In a sense, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, you desire the liberation of all kinds of living entities without discrimination. You are very anxious for their good fortune. And I say that simply by your prayer, all living entities within the universe can be liberated. You do not even have to take up the burden of their sinful activities. Thus, there is no need for you to suffer for their sinful lives. Whoever receives your compassion becomes a Vaishnava immediately, and Krishna delivers all Vaishnavas from reactions to their past sinful activities.
Okay. So the Lord is saying, just because you desire someone's well-being, that person becomes the Vaishnava. And anyway, Krishna takes away all sinful reactions of a Vaishnava. Right? So the Lord is saying, Krishna is not asamarth, he can do anything. Why does he has to make you suffer? Right? If you see in that text 161, Vasudeva Thakur said, my Lord, you are samarth, you can do anything. Therefore, give the sins of all living entities upon my head. Right? You are samarth, I will suffer for them. Transfer. Lord says, why if you are saying the Lord is samarth, right? Or now Mahaprabhu is saying Krishna will fulfill. Right? So indirectly the Lord has sanctioned actually, because Himself is Supreme Lord. Right? By saying that Krishna must do whatever you want, the Lord is actually sanctioning that, His prayer. Right? And then He's saying, you called Krishna as samarth. You called Krishna as samarth, that we can do whatever we want. You know that quality of Krishna. So why does Krishna have to transfer? You know, if Krishna has to give his devotee something, it's not that he has to take from somewhere. Right? He can produce that. Right? If a Krishna has to give 1 crore to his devotee, it's not that he has to withdraw from someone's bank account and then give to his devotee. Right? Or somewhere like that. Right? Just like Prabhupada would say, there are some yogis. They can produce a pomegranate, but some plant somewhere will have 1 pomegranate missing. Right? They can only transfer of somewhere. So there will be someone's loss, someone gains is there. Right? But Krishna is not like that. Right? Krishna is samarth. He doesn't have to give the sinful reaction to you. Without you taking, the Lord can destroy the sinful reaction of all living entities. So this verse from Brahma Samhita is quoted by the Lord. Together we can recite.
Yastvendragopamathavendramahosukarma mandhanurupaphalabhajamatanoti karma ninirdahati kintucha bhakti bhajam govinda.
Let me offer my respectful obeisances unto the original personality of Godhead Govinda, who regulates the suffering and enjoyment due to fruitive activity. He does this for everyone, from the heavenly king Indra down to the smallest insect, Indra Gopa. That very personality of Godhead destroys the karmic reactions of the one engaged in devotional service.
Okay, so this is Karmani Nirdahati Kintuja Bhakti Bhajam. Lord can destroy the sinful reactions. He doesn't have to. He is completely samarth. Right? Then the king can liquidate the debt of anyone if he wants.
Tomara Icha Matrahave Brahmanda Mochan Sarva Mukta Karite Krishnera Nahi Kichushram Eka Udumbara Vrikshe Lage Koti Phale Koti ye Brahmanda Bhase Virajara Jale Tar Eka Phala Padi Yadi Nashta Haye Tathapi Vriksha Nahi Tathapi Vriksha Nahi Jane Nija Apachaye Taichi Eka Brahmanda Yad Taichi Eka Brahmanda Yadi Mukta Haye Tabu Alpahani Krishnera Mane Nahi Laye.
Because of your honest desire, all living entities within the universe will be delivered. For Krishna does not have to do anything to deliver all living entities of the universe. Just as there are millions of fruits on the Audumbara tree, millions of universes float on the water of the river Virija. The Audumbara tree is filled with the millions of fruits, and if one falls down and is destroyed, the tree does not even consider the loss. In the same way, if one universe is vacated due to the living entities having been liberated, that is a very little thing for Krishna. He does not take it very seriously.
You have seen Udumba tree? There is one at the entrance of Vrindavan forest, Udumba tree. There are small fruits, kind of. They are growing everywhere, on the branches, on the main stem. You see, small. If you see the within the fruit, that green color, you have seen? They are falling on the ground also. Just at the, where the board was hung, welcome to the forest of grace. Huh? Forest fig tree. At the entrance of Vrindavan forest, there is one big Udumba tree. There are small green, you know, fruits. They are called fruits or whatever. And there are so many of them. They are always falling. Right? And if you within each fruit, you will find so many seeds in each fruit. Right? So the Lord is giving an example of Udumba tree. There are millions of fruits on a tree. Yeah, similarly, there are millions of universes. If one fig falls from the tree and it is destroyed, the tree doesn't even know the loss, Lord is saying. Right? Similarly, for Krishna, if one Brahmand is liberated, there is no big thing for Krishna. Right? There is no big thing for Krishna. It's very little.
Ananta Aishwarya Krishnera Vaikunthadi Dham Tara Gada Kai Karan Abdiyara Nam Tate Bhase Maya Laya Ananta Brahman Gada Kai Te Bhase Yena Rai Purna Bhand Tara Eka Rai Nashe Hani Nahi Mani ऐसे एक अंड नाशे कृष्ण हेरा नाही हानि.
The entire spiritual world constitutes the unlimited opulence of Krishna, and there are innumerable Vaikuntha planets there. The causal ocean is considered the surrounding waters of the Vaikuntha Loka. Maya and her unlimited material universes are situated in that causal ocean. Indeed, Maya appears to be floating like a pot filled with the mustard seed. Of the millions of the mustard seeds floating in that pot, if one seed is lost, the loss is not at all significant. Similarly, if one universe is lost, it is not significant to Lord Krishna.
Okay, so Gadkhai, what Gadkhai use, you know, there is a moat around. So the whole causal ocean is like a moat around the spiritual universes. And Maya and all the unlimited universes are situated in one corner of the causal ocean. Right? So all these manifestations of Maya are considered like a pot filled with mustard seed and situated in one corner of the causal ocean. It says in from one pot, huge pot of mustard seeds, one mustard seed is lost. What is the loss for Krishna? Okay, so therefore, one universe is delivered, Krishna, there is no loss for Krishna. Not just that, Mahaprabhu goes ahead. Sab brahmanda sah yadi mayar hai shaye. तथापि न माने कृष्णा किछु अपचय कोटि कामधेनु पतिरा छागी ऐसे मरे षडैश्वर्य पति कृष्णेरा माया की बा करे.
नथिंग ऑफ द वन यूनिवर्सल मस्टर्ड सीड इवन इफ ऑल द यूनिवर्सेस एंड द मटेरियल एनर्जी Maya are destroyed, Krishna does not even consider the loss. If a person possessing a millions of wish-fulfilling cows loses one she-goat, he does not consider the loss. Krishna owns all six opulences in full. If the entire material energy is destroyed, what does he lose?
Okay, so Lord, first he said that, giving the example of Dumbar and a pot filled with mustard seeds. One mustard seed, Lord, what is the loss? Right? One Dumbar fruit falls on, what is the loss? Lord says, what to speak of that? If the entire material universes are dissolved, right? Still for Krishna there is no loss. Because there are unlimited spiritual manifestations. Right? The unlimited spiritual worlds are compared to unlimited cows, wish-fulfilling cows. The material world is compared to a goat. And one goat is lost, one who possesses millions of cows, for him one goat is lost. What is the loss? If the entire material universes are dissolved, for Krishna there is still no loss. Right? So, sometime, you know, Gaur Krishna Maharaj was sharing this. He said, sometime people say, you know, like there are thieves who go to the temple, they steal away the sometime brass bell which is heavy, sometimes they steal away something from the temple. They go and open the taps of the temple, if there are some nice taps, something like something. So people steal from the temples also. Right? So some people say, Are God, you know, they stole from the house of God. He could not even protect his property. He said, Krishna is master of material, millions of material world. He doesn't know the loss. He doesn't have to bother himself with all this, you know. Tap is stolen, ghanti is stolen. He said that we have to take care of that. Why should Krishna be bothered about that? Right? If the entire material world is lost, Krishna doesn't know it. That is the greatness of Krishna. Right? He should not be worrying about, you know, bell in the temple or some hand wash taps in the temple being stolen. Right? He doesn't even know, in one sense, you know, now this is from the perspective of Krishna's magnanimity. Krishna doesn't have to bother about it. It's the devotees who have to protect. Why should Krishna bother about it? Right? He is the master of millions of universes. There is no loss for him. That's the whole point. You know, people say, you know, from God's house this has been stolen, etc. He said there is no loss for him. But we have to protect. You know, that is our service to the Lord. Right? So here the Lord is saying
even if the entire material energy is destroyed, still for Krishna there is no loss. Then all the material universes are destroyed, still for Krishna there is no loss. Right? So Prabhupada was talking and he was saying that, he said, some people raise the question, if everyone becomes a devotee, then how will the material world go on? So Prabhupada says, he would say, just see, they are saying if all the prisoners are reformed, how will the jail go on? How will the jail flourish? Prabhupada said, just see, their concern is how will the jail flourish? Is it a very good idea that the jail should flourish? You know, if all the jails are stopped, they are very concerned, you know, how will the jails go on running if everyone is reformed, right, by the Krishna Consciousness Movement. Right? So Prabhupada was pointing out that just see the foolishness of the people. They are considered so much worried about that the jail should also flourish. There should be no dearth of prisoners over there. Right? They should be waiting line always. Right? So like that. So, again a very beautiful purport. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in clarifying verses 171 to 179, states that the meaning of these stanzas is very simple, but that the purport is a little difficult to understand. Yeah, read this purport.
Generally, the conditioned souls forget Krishna when they are enticed by the material external energy. Consequently, they are called Krishna Bahirmukha, bereft of the relationship with Krishna. When such a living entity comes under the jurisdiction of the material energy, he is sent into the one of the innumerable material universes created by the material energy to give a chance to conditioned souls to fulfill their desires in the material world. Being very eager to enjoy the fruits of their activities, conditioned souls become involved in the actions and reactions of material life. Consequently, they enjoy and suffer the result of karma. However, if a conditioned soul becomes Krishna conscious, the karma of his pious and impious activities is completely destroyed. Simply by becoming a devotee, one is free from all reactions of karma. Similarly, simply by desire of the devotee, a conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the result of karma.
Okay, so here is being pointed out that simply if a person becomes a devotee, one is freed from the reactions of karma, right? Which the whole action and reaction chain begins when a conditioned soul comes under the jurisdiction of material energy. But as soon as he becomes a devotee, then he is freed from the action and reaction of karma. Similarly, simply by the desire of a devotee, a conditioned soul can attain liberation and transcend the result of karma. Right? This is also true. If he becomes a devotee, he is freed from the karma. And similarly, if there is a pure devotee who is desiring that he be freed, then also a person can be freed, right, from the results of karma. Since everyone can be liberated in this way, one may conclude that it is according to the sweet will of the devotee whether the material world exists or does not exist. What do you say? Is that right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, if the pure devotee desire that everyone be liberated, they will be liberated. Right? So then he is saying, then is it by the sweet will of the devotee that this whole material universe is existing? Right? So Bhaktivinoda Thakur further clarifies. Ultimately, however, it is not the sweet will of the devotee, but the will of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who if so desires, can completely annihilate the material creation. Right? Because the Supreme Lord, he can completely annihilate the material creation if he desires. Right? There will be no loss for him. There is no loss on his part. The owner of millions of cows does not consider the loss of one she-goat. Similarly, Lord Krishna is the proprietor of both the material and spiritual universes. The material world constitutes only 1/4 of his creative energy. If according to the desire of the devotee, the Lord completely destroys the creation, he is so opulent that he will not mind the loss. He can't do it. Why he will not do it? Or why he has not done it? What do you say? He said that, yes, by the desire of pure devotee, the Lord can just unwind the material energy and liberate all the conditioned souls and take them back home, back to Godhead. Right? The Lord can do, and for him there will be no loss. He will not mind the loss at all. Just like a possessor of millions of cows doesn't mind the loss of one she-goat. There will be no loss for Krishna. If by the sweet will of the Lord can destroy the creation. Right? What do you feel? Why does the Lord doesn't do it? By exercising free will. Whose free will? Devotees. But their own free will, by exercising, they can? Okay. 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 Yeah. Okay, right. Anything else you want to say? By the desire of pure devotees, Krishna can liberate all the universes. Why the pure devotees are not desiring, why the Krishna not doing it, if that is possible? That is the question. That is very clearly indicated here. Mahaprabhu is saying, by your desire, this Brahmand will be liberated. Krishna can actually wind up all the material universes also. There will be no loss for him. It can happen by the desire of pure devotees. And why is not happening? Yes, someone else should contribute. He wants to refine the living entities. Okay. Okay. Anyone else wants to contribute something in this, shed more light into this discussion? If according to the desire of the devotee, the Lord completely destroys the creation, he is so opulent that he will not mind the loss. Yes? Oh yeah, we are saying there are other living entities may fill the universe. That's okay, but here is mentioned the Lord may destroy the creation altogether. Right? The whole material energy, he may destroy the entire creation. Liberate all the jivas, and by the sweet will of the devotees, the Lord may do so. Right? Yes, so as pointed out, the living entities may be liberated, but one thing we should understand is that all the living entities are struggling over here, but struggle in this world is not always bad. Right? One should not think the struggle to be bad. Right? So, if the struggle helps them to develop their love for Krishna, raise their consciousness, right? It has been seen in this world that those who obtain something with struggle, they value that thing a lot. Those who obtain without struggle, they hardly give any value. It has been seen. Those who obtain something with struggle, they remain grateful. Right? Those who obtain without struggle, they often become ungrateful. Right? So therefore, it is the pure devotees. Now Vasudeva Thakur, he had such compassion, he wanted to take, out of his compassion he desired that. But the devotees do not desire this material world be completely dissolved, understanding the purpose of the Lord. Understanding the purpose of the Lord. As we discussed that, struggle is not bad. What we obtain by struggle, we value, we remain grateful. Right? And this material world also, there are certain pastimes. Although this material world is like a prison house, but as Vishwanatha Thakur has pointed out, the pastimes of the Lord, they shine forth very brilliantly in this material world. Right? Just like in a back, in a dark blue background, the diamonds, the Lord pastimes like a diamond, they shine forth very brilliantly in a dark background. Therefore, there is a special sweetness to the Lord's pastime in the material world. Right? So the many pure devotees also come to enact various pastimes. So there is a special flavor to the Lord pastime in the material world. So apart from refining the conditioned souls, the Lord pastimes, when he comes and performs in this material world, they have a very special, unique flavor to it. They shine forth very brilliant in this material world. Right? So therefore, so the process, understanding that the Lord wants us to develop our prema. We want Lord, he wants that we struggle to become purified and develop our love for him. That is the best way. That is the best way. Therefore, understanding that desire, right? The pure devotees always do not want that all the living entity be just liberated without any struggle. Right? You understand the point? Just like no father will say the child, okay, no, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to go to school, you don't have to study, you just sit down, I learn everything for you. Do you see it anywhere in this world? Even in the multimillionaire, he said, okay, you don't have to do anything, I learn everything for you. Right? No, he wants him to undergo some struggle in life. Actually, a wise father, he will want that you also become qualified. Right? You should also become capable. Right? So therefore, the struggle in this world is not undesirable as such. Right? Although we tend to see struggle as undesirable, we should not see it as undesirable. Right? It will actually help us to develop and value, right, the gifts of the Lord. So like that. So although speaking from the viewpoint of Siddhant, there is no shram for Krishna to liberate, you know, to unwind the material energy. But there is a purpose behind it. Right? So therefore, understanding this purpose, right, the material creation goes on, and the pure devotees do not always desire that everyone be just be liberated without any struggle. Right? Like that. Read the verse 188 together.
Jai Jai Jahi Yajam Ajit Dosha Grabhita Gunam Tamasi Yadatmana Sambarudda Samasta Bhaga अज जगदोकसामखिल शक्ति अवबोधकते क्वचिद अजात्मनात चरतो अनुचरेन.
Chaitanya Mahaprabhu continued, O my Lord, O unconquerable one, O master of all potencies, please exhibit your internal potency to conquer the nascence of all moving and inert living entities. Due to nascence, they accept all kinds of faulty things, thus provoking a fearful situation. O Lord, please show your glories. You can do this very easily, for your internal potency is beyond external potency, and you are the reservoir of all opulences. You are also the demonstrator of the material potency. You are also always engaged in your pastimes in the spiritual world. where you exhibit your reserved internal potency, and sometimes you exhibit the external potency by glancing over it. Thus you manifest your pastimes. The Vedas confirm your two potencies and accept both types of pastimes due to them.
So we go to text 181. So therefore, this external energy, you know, as we said, that is also there is a uniqueness, or there is a speciality to the Lord's pastime within the material world, has been pointed out. So in this way, the Lord, he glorified all his devotees, is mentioned. Aimat sarva bhaktera kahi sarva gun sabare vidai dila kari alingan. So Lord, he embraced all and bid them farewell. And feeling separation from the Lord, all the devotees began to cry. And the Lord also felt acute separation from all the devotees. So this is the first time all the devotees are coming. In the future also there will be a description of devotees coming and the Lord bidding farewell. But this is the first time the devotees are coming. And therefore Gadadhar Pandit, he did not return back. He wanted to stay with the Lord. Right? So the Lord gave him a place to stay near Yameshwar Tota. Tota means the garden. Right? We see this place still there. Right? Therefore we say Tota Gopinath, right? That Tota refers to a garden which is Yameshwar, by the name of the Yameshwar, that garden is there. So, all these devotees, they stayed at Jagannath Puri, their name is mentioned over here. Paramanand Puri, Jagadanand Pandey, Swarup Damodar, Damodar Pandey, Govinda Kashishwar. And with all these devotees, the Lord would daily go and see Jagannath. So now, beginning with 186 verse, when all the devotees left, Lord bid them farewell. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya approached the Lord. He approached the Lord. One day is mentioned, right? After all the devotees left, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he came and he submitted a request with folded hands toward the Lord. What did he say? My Lord, that now that all the Vaishnavas have returned, right? So he said, now you please accept my invitation. Right? There was not a frequent opportunity. All the devotees were inviting the Lord as we know. Right? So now there was a good opportunity to invite the Lord for invitation. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited the Lord to honor Prasad at his house. Verse 188. Ebe mor ghare bhiksha karaha masa bhari. प्रभु कहे धर्म नहे करीते न पारी सर्वभौम कहे भिक्षा करह बीस दिन प्रभु कहे एह नहे यति धर्म चिन सर्वभौम कहे पुना दिन पंचदश प्रभु कहे तुमार भिक्षा एक दिवस.
Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, please accept my invitation for lunch for 1 month. The Lord replied, that is not possible because it is against the religious principles of a sannyasi. Sarvabhauma then said, please accept the invitation for 20 days. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, it is not a religious principle of the renounce order. When Sarvabhauma requested Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to accept lunch for 15 days, the Lord said, I shall accept lunch at your place for 1 day only.
Okay. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, He says, my Lord, now this full month you should come and take prasad at my house. Right? Bhiksha karaha maas bhari. But as Mahaprabhu says, dharma nahe karite na pari. It is not my dharma daily to take prasadam at one person's house. Right? So, this some important lesson we can learn. So, and then first let's go through the how does the whole negotiation goes. Sir, please, my Lord, all 30 days, this full month you take prasad in my house. But sir, no, this is not my dharma. He said, okay, 20 days. You take 20 days at my house. Right? Bhiksha karaha 20 din. The Lord says, ehi nahi yati dharma chin. This is not the religious principle or announced order. Okay, din panchadas, 15 days at my house. Lord says, bhiksha tumhare ghar ek divas. Right? One day. Right? Just imagine the power of negotiation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Suppose someone says, this bag is for 300 rupees. You said, I don't have that much money. Okay, give 200 rupees. I can't give 200 rupees also. Okay, give 150 rupees. So take 10 rupees. Right? So it is quite a heavy negotiation. Right? From 30 to 1, Lord brought him down. Right? What's it? At your house, bhiksha for one day. Right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he fell down at the Lord's feet and submissively begged. At least 10 days, and the Lord didn't agree to that also. So finally, the Lord settled that I'll come for 5 days at your house. So, first is, usually, most of the people, they want to follow dharma if it is convenient to them. Right? Now, it may be very convenient to, you know, just to take daily, someone is inviting to take prasad at someone's house. Right? But the Lord is saying, it may be very austere, right, to take prasadam at different people's house. Because someone may cook very spicy prasad, someone may cook, you know, some sabji not to your liking. You take at one person's place, they will understand your taste or something, right? Usually, right? So, therefore, but the Lord is saying that although it may be very convenient to take, right, entire month at your house, but this is not my dharma. Just simply because it is convenient, I cannot accept it. Right? And then, usually, the people offer, you know, some kind of, if you say, oh, this is not my dharma, right? Lord said, I cannot take daily at your house. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, okay, you know, you may say that this is not your dharma. You can take 20 days. So therefore, you will not be taking daily. So therefore, the mind is like that, right? Mind may give you a little bit bypass solution. You can still do whatever you want, but people may not find fault with me. You understand? That's how the mind works. The mind will give you a solution by which people may not find fault, but still you can almost do, you know, you can almost break the dharma, but people may not find fault. I'm not taking daily. You know, I'm not daily doing this or whatever. So, Mahamadacharya, okay, so no one will say, you know, that you're taking prasad at my house daily. Just take about 20 days. Right? 2 days you can take, one day you can take a break. Like that, you know, something like that. So, just like, this is like one politician, right, when there was a car manufacturing company, Toyota, came to India, they offered an industrial minister who was to sanction the land for their factory setup. They said, here is a new Toyota Corolla, right, we want to make in India also, this is a key for you. He said, I cannot take anything for free. He said, okay, you can pay us 1 rupee for the car. And he took out 2 rupees. He said, give me 2 cars. Right? So he was following dharma. Right? But a so-called dharma. Right? Just for the sake of, you know, just for the sake of showing only, for the external. Right? So there's so many people may, you know, follow the dharma just for namesake. Right? So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya offers that allurement. You can take, okay, no one will criticize you, take at my house daily. Take 20 days. Right? The Lord said, no, this is not the dharma again. Right? And then he offers him 50-50 solution. He said, okay, 1 day you may take, 1 day you may not take. You know, so 50% of the time you take my house, 15 days you take at my house. Right? Again, material energy offers us a 50-50 solution. Right? She will say, okay, you know, you are spending your life for Krishna, but you got to take care of yourself also very nicely. Half the time you give to Krishna, half the time you give to me. You know, you have also your priorities, you have also your ambitions, you also to, you know, take care of many things which are also so important for your spiritual life, right, etc. Right? So in this way, often our mind or the material energy offers us 50-50 solution. That you give to Krishna, no one is stopping you. But you know, there are so many other important things also you got to attend, you got to take care of, etc. Right? So that's like a 50-50 solution. 50% to Krishna, 50% to Maya. Or material energy or whatever, you know. So that this looks like the best of the both worlds. Right? Seems to be a very good solution. Right? But Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu rejected that. Right? He rejected that. He said, no, not even that. I will only come 1 day to your house for prasad. Right? Thus, the Lord showed his strictness in following dharma, not for just namesake, right? But actually to follow the dharma in spirit. However, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya insisted so much, right, the Lord accepted, okay, I'll come to your house for 5 days. That particular month, because Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya didn't get chance for the last 4 months to invite, because all different devotees are inviting him. Right? So to make up for that also, the Lord agreed to accept prasad at his house for 5 days. That is mentioned in text 192. Then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said, my Lord, there are 10 sannyasis with you. Right? Their names are mentioned in the purport, if you see. There were 10 sannyasis living in, headed by Paramanand Puri and Sarup Damodar Goswami. Those two were very close to the Lord, these two sannyasis. And there were 8 more sannyasis. So, out of these 10 sannyasis, if you remember, the roots, they are mentioned as the root of Lord Chaitanya tree. How many of them? 9 of them, except Sarup Damodar. Sarup Damodar was actually assisting the Lord. The other 9 sannyasis have been mentioned as the 9 roots of Lord Chaitanya tree also. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya submitted this plan that Paramanand Puri Goswami, he will come for 5 days. I invited him. Right, or I'm going to invite him either way. That this has already been settled. That he will come for 5 days. And Sarup Damodar Goswami, he is my great friend. He will sometime come with you and sometime he would come alone. And the other 8 sannyasis, right, I have invited them for 2 days. In this way, the entire month has been completed. How? The sannyasis, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu would come for 5 days, Paramanand Puri would come for 5 days, and 5, 5, 10, and the 8 sannyasis would come for 2 days each, 16 and 10, 26, and Sarup Damodar Goswami, he would come for 4 days. Sometime he will come with you also, you know, I invite him, so like that. So in this way, so he said, the entire month will be fulfilled, I will be able to serve the entire month, right? So therefore also here we learn that how it's always good to keep oneself engaged fully, right? Not having any free time. Right? He didn't keep Sunday off. You know, Sunday I will take rest. Sunday I will do the purchase. You know, I'll purchase this vegetables on Sunday for the entire week or whatever. Right? Didn't keep Sunday off also. As such is good. The principle is good to keep oneself engaged fully, right? So that we don't have much time to, you know, think what should I do now. Right? There is always some pending things to do, always something to look up to, that this needs to be done, this needs to be done. Right? So therefore, he filled up the entire 30 days, right, in serving some guest or the others. Right? As a grihastha, he showed that example. Read the translation from 197.
If all sannyasis came together, it would not possible for me to pay them proper respects. Therefore, I would be an offender. Sometimes you will come alone to my place, and sometimes you will be accompanied by Swarup Damodar. Having this arrangement confirmed by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the Bhattacharya became very glad and immediately invited the Lord to his house on that very day. Sarvabhu Bhattacharya's wife was known as Sathira Mata, the mother of Sathi. She was a great devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and she was affectionate like a mother. After returning to his home, Sarvabhu Bhattacharya gave orders to his wife, Sathira Mata, and she began cooking with a great pleasure. At Sarvabhu Bhattacharya's house, there was always a full stock of food. Whatever spinach, vegetables, fruit, and so on were required, he collected and brought back home. Sarvabhu Bhattacharya personally began to help Sathira Mata cook. She was very experienced and she knew how to cook nicely. On the southern side of the kitchen were two rooms for offering food, and in one of them the food was offered to Shaligram Narayan. The other room was for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lunch. The Lord's lunch room was very secluded and it was newly constructed by the Bhattacharya. The room was so constructed that there was only one door opening on the outside, which served as the entrance for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There was another door attached to the kitchen, and it was through this door that the food was brought. First, three manas of the cooked rice, almost 6 pounds, was poured onto a big banana leaf. Then the whole stack of rice was mixed with so much yellowish and fragrant clarified butter that it began to overflow the leaf.
Okay, so at number of places this is mentioned, Battish Athiya Kalar Angitiya Pate. Right? This mentioned that the coconut tree on which there would be like 32 bunches of bananas hanging, the leaf of that tree was taken. So it's to be understood that the leaf is really very big, and you know, so the tree is, this has been mentioned at several places in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that the tree which was having 32 bunches is not indicated here but different places, tree producing 32 bunches of bananas, from that they would take the leaf, that would be like a special leaf. Right, really huge, and huge amount of rice was cooked and stacked, and around that many other preparations were kept. Right, so the entire description of the entire feast is shown, given over here now. Right, what all the items were cooked by Sathira Mata and Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And Prabhupada says in Purport 207, this is the beginning of description of the food prepared for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. This description is given by Kaviraj Goswami, who it is assumed was an expert cook who knew both how to prepare and how to serve food. Right? So that Prabhupada remarks that. But remember one thing, this description is given not because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami found, because he is such an expert cook, so he by his natural tendency, he wants to give a elaborate description of wherever there is feast mentioned. Right? So, he gives all this, now it is by the description it is understood that he knew the cooking and serving, the art of cooking and serving, the way he has described. But not the other way, it's not that because he knew this very well, so you know, so just like a person, a businessman is giving class or something, writing, so he may give many examples or describe, you know, business things and take example from that to give Krishna consciousness philosophy, right? It may happen. A businessman may talk, or a finance man may talk in terms of finance, he may talk in terms of investment and return, right? Like he may use those terms to describe, and we often give that kind of examples. So therefore one should not understand, because Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami is a great cook, therefore he has elaborated so many cooking recipes and menus in the book, right? because that gave him ecstasy. Right? He is not like conditioned soul who is, you know, having the proclivity to describe the subjects which are appealing to one's own nature. Right? So one should not think like that. Rather, he is describing all these elaborate things just to show the love of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Shatira Mata. Right? So, yes, read the description of the feast.
There were number of pots made of the bark of banana trees and the leaves of the kayap plant. These pots were filled with the various cooked vegetables and placed on all sides of the leaf. There were about 10 kinds of spinach, a soup called sukta, which was made with the bitter nimba leaves, a pungent preparations made with the black pepper, a mild cake made of fried curd, and buttermilk mixed with the small fried pieces of dhal. There were preparations of dugdha tumbi, dugdha kushmanda, vasara, lafra, mocha ghanta, mocha bhaja, and other vegetables. There were unlimited quantities of vruddha kushmanda badi, phula badi, fruits and various fruits. Other preparations included eggplant mixed with the newly grown nimba leaves fried together, light badi, fried patola, and fried rounds of squash and pumpkin. There was a soup made with the fried urad dal and mug dal, defeating nectar. There were also sweet chutney and 5 or 6 kinds of sour preparations, beginning with badamla. There were badas made of mug dal, of urad dal, and of sweet bananas. There were sweet rice cake, coconut cakes, and various other cakes. There were kanji bada, dugdha chida, dugdha laklaki, and various cakes that I am unable to describe. Sweet rice mixed with the ghee was poured into the earthen pot and mixed with the champakkala, condensed milk, and mango. Other preparations included very delicious churned curd and varieties of sandesha sweetmeats. Indeed, all the various eatables available in Bengal and Orissa were prepared. Thus, Bhattacharya prepared a great variety of food and spread a fine cloth over a white wooden platform.
Right, so the entire Bengali and Odia cuisine was prepared. Right, it is mentioned that whatever were the best items known, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Shatira Mata, they prepared this, all the items. Yes, go on reading.
On the two sides of the stack of food were pitchers filled with the scented cold water. The flowers of the tulsi trees were placed atop of a mound of rice. Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya also included several types of food that had been offered to Lord Jagannath. These included sweet balls known as Amrita Gutika, sweet rice and cakes. All these were kept separate. When everything was ready, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came there alone after finishing his midday duties. He knew the heart of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. After Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya washed the Lord's feet, the Lord entered the room to take his lunch. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was a little astonished to see the gorgeous arrangement and gesturing. He spoke to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Okay, yeah. So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya invited the Lord in the morning, right? And he came at noon time. Right? So the Lord, when he saw all the feast, and it looked like he has been preparing for so many, you know, months. You know, looks like that. So the Lord was surprised to see such elaborate arrangement. Alaukik hai sab anna vyanjan, dui prahar bhitare kaise hai larandhan, shat chulaye shat jan paagay adhikare, tabu shigra et drav randhite na pare. Krishnera bhogal lagaiye ach anuman kare, upare dekhiye yate tulasi manjari, bhagyavan tumi safal tumara udyo, Radha Krishna lagai ach etradish bhog,
This is most uncommon. How was this arrangement of rice and vegetables finished within 6 hours? Even 100 men cooking on the 100 stoves could not possibly finish all these preparations within a short time. I hope the food has already been offered to Krishna, since I see there are tulsi flowers on it. You are the most fortunate and your endeavor is successful, for you have offered such a wonderful food to Radha Krishna.
Okay. So the Lord is saying, how could you prepare? It's like there is a whole annakoot kind of, you know. Since morning till afternoon you have prepared all this, 100 people or 100 stoves would not be able to prepare so much. Right? What you have prepared, two of you have prepared. How could it be humanly possible? Just imagine. Right? So two people start in the morning with vegetable cutting and everything. Right? And there is a whole hall, kind of whole room filled with bhoga. Right? Just in the true prahar. Right? So therefore, one important thing that comes out is that how Asarva Bhattacharya will point out that many amazing things can take place, right, which are beyond the calculation, right. So, by the mercy of the Lord, we should not try to measure Krishna's mercy with our calculations, right. But how is this possible? How can this happen, right? Because we always think in terms of material calculations. But the mercy of the Lord is beyond all the material calculations. Right? So therefore, those who are sincere, they are trying to serve Krishna, they can do much more beyond their calculation as well as the calculation of others. Right? Others will be amazed, they themselves will be amazed. Right? Because that's the nature of the mercy of the Lord. Right? It transcends all material jurisdictions, all material barriers. Therefore, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, just because they have such a desire to serve the Lord, right, they could cook such a huge feast in such a short time, which is otherwise, you know, commonly not possible for any human being to do. So, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he repeatedly congratulates that you are so fortunate, all your endeavor has been successful, you offered such wonderful food to Radha and Krishna. Right? That would often be, you know, when the Lord would go, he would see Advaitacharya sometimes offering such huge food to, and the Lord would say, oh great, you have offered such a great thing to the Lord, now just give me a little bit in a small patal. They would say, my Lord, please do not, right, please do not cheat us, please do not pretend that it is all for you. Right? So, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, here the Lord is saying, oh, you offered this to Radha Krishna, so wonderful, give me a little of it. Right? Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya would made him, is everything for you, the whole Mahaprasada is for you. Right? So that would often be the pastime, the Lord. The Lord would be praising the food and the offering to Radha Krishna. But the devotees, they all would want for the, that everything is meant for you. Right? So, read the translation.
The color of rice is so attractive and its aroma so good that it appears Radha and Krishna have directly taken it. My dear Bhattacharya, your fortune is very great. How much shall I praise you? I also am very fortunate to be able to take remnants of this food. Take away Krishna's sitting place and put it aside. Then give me prasadam on a different plate. Sarvam Bhattacharya said, it is not so wonderful, my Lord. Everything has been made possible by the energy and mercy of him who will eat the food.
Okay, so Sarvam Bhattacharya also first said, he said, my Lord, don't be surprised to see all this preparation. Right? Bhattacharya bale prabhu na karaha vismaye, yehi khabe tahar shakte bhog siddh hai. One is going to eat this, only by his mercy we have been able to prepare, right, all these things. So therefore do not be. And he says, oh, my wife and I did not actually exerted ourselves. Again he says that he by whose power the food has been prepared knows everything. That we didn't have to exert ourselves. Therefore, he gives the credit to the Lord. Right? So then Sarvam Bhattacharya, you know, there is a sitting place of Krishna over there. And there is a bhoga. So Lord says, keep the sitting place aside and give me a separate patal. Sarvam Bhattacharya, my Lord, please sit here only on the sitting place of Krishna. And this all is for you to honor. Right? There are no extra patals. Right? This is for you to honor. So Sarvam Bhattacharya is saying, telling the Lord, एत आसने वसी करहा भोजन प्रभु कहे पूज्या ई कृष्णेरा आसन. राइट, रीड द पर्पट.
अकॉर्डिंग टू एटिक्वेट थिंग्स यूज्ड बाय द कृष्णा शुड नॉट बी यूज्ड बाय एनीवन एल्स. सिमिलरली थिंग यूज्ड बाय द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर शुड आल्सो नॉट बी यूज्ड बाय एनीवन एल्स. दैट इज द एटिक्वेट. व्हाटएवर इज यूज्ड बाय द कृष्णा और द स्पिरिचुअल मास्टर इज वर्शिपेबल. इन पर्टिकुलर द सिटिंग और ईटिंग प्लेसेस शुड नॉट बी यूज्ड बाय एनीवन एल्स. A devotee must be very careful to observe this.
Okay, so the Lord says this is worshipable. This has been used by Krishna, this asana. Right? So therefore, it should not be used by anyone else. And Prabhupada said, yes, one should be very careful not to use the sitting or eating place of the Lord and the spiritual master both. One should not use. So, now Sarva Bhattacharya gives a different line of argument. 235. भट्ट कहे अन्न पीठ समान प्रसाद, अन्न खाबे पीठे वसीते कहाँ अपराध. प्रभु कहे भाल कैले शास्त्र आज्ञा है, कृष्ण रास कल शेष भृत्य अस्वादय. तयोपयुक्त स्रगगंधा वासो लंकार चर्चिता उचिष्ट भोजिनो दासा स्तव मायाम जये मही.
द Bhattacharya said, both the food and the sitting places are the Lord's mercy. If you can eat the remnants of the food, what is the offense in your sitting in this place? Chaitanya Mahaprabhu then said, yes, you have spoken correctly. The Shastras enjoin that the devotees can partake of everything left by Krishna. My dear Lord, the garlands, the scented substances, garments, ornaments, and other such things that have been offered to you may later be used by your servants. By partaking of these things and eating the remnants of the food you have left, we will be able to conquer the illusionary energy.
Okay, so Bhattacharya says, my Lord, this anna and peat, the remnant of Krishna's food, and the sitting place, they are saman prasad. Both have been used by Krishna. So they are prasad of the Lord. You will accept the ann but not the peat. Lord said, yes, you are right. Bhala kaile shastra, the scripture says, Krishna sakala shesh bhritya asvadai. All the remnants of Krishna can be partaken by his devotees. So therefore the Lord accepted that proposal. Lord accepted your proposal. First, Prabhupada said, yes, one should be very careful. But then Sarva Bhattacharya gave another line of reason. And the Lord accepted that. So, is there any conflict between what Prabhupada said in purport of 234 and what Sarva Bhattacharya said and the Lord approved? Right, we just studied purport of 234 and now Sarva Bhattacharya gave another line of argument which the Lord accepted. What do you say? How you reconcile? Huh? Yeah. Okay. Okay. Yes.
Sorry. We are saying in that they are all worshipable, but in the mood of worship, you can use. Okay. Okay. Yeah, yeah, there is a peat. It would be a little, yeah, no, not exactly like a mat, but a wooden small seat, little, a wooden seat, a kind of a wooden seat. Yeah. Anyway, so the Lord objected that I should not be using Krishna sitting place. Sarvamattacharya said, my Lord is also prasad of the Lord only. He is also prasad of the Lord. You accept one prasad and not accepting another prasad. Please accept this as a prasad. Right? So therefore, the whole point is now Sarvabhautacharya would want to use that by the Lord, but he will not be using the same thing for Krishna service. Right? So that's the difference. So here, you know, once that is, once you give a new thing to the Lord, right? Once you give a new thing to the Lord, new sitting place, the old sitting place then can be used, right? Can be accepted as a prasad. It's like the spiritual master is wearing some cloth. It's not that you pick up someday the cloth and wear, and the next day again you give it to spiritual master. You give a new thing to the spiritual master. Now often devotees would offer, Rupa, this is a new suitcase for you. And then they want to take back the old suitcase. Right? So that would become a prasad. You offer something new or better, and then you can use a thing that which has been already replaced. That can be used as a prasad. Therefore, here we understand Sarvam Bhattacharya saying this is also Lord's prasad now. That will not no longer be used by the Lord. He has already arranged a better or equally good suit for a new suit for Lord Krishna. Therefore, he wants this to be used by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Right? So therefore, said, this is also prasad. Lord said, yes, what you are saying is right. All the remnants of the Lord, his servitors can partake of all the remnants left by the Supreme Lord. Right? Krishna ra sakal shesha bhritya asvadai. Devotee can partake of everything left by Krishna. And Mahaprabhu quote this verse, just by partaking of the remnants, person can cross over the illusory energy, right? This is a very important verse, especially whenever we get any Mahaprasad of the Lord in any form, right? Gandha, flowers, whatever is used by Lord, we should remember this verse, that just by honoring these remnants with a grateful heart, we can conquer the material energy, right? Which is a very difficult task, just by honoring the remnants in a proper mood. Toyo upabhukta sarga gandha vaso alankar charchita Uchishtu bhojino dasa stav mayam jayimhi. Read the first paragraph.
This is a quotation from Srimad Bhagavatam 11.6.46. In the Hare Krishna movement, the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra, the dancing in ecstasy and the eating of the remnants of food offered to the Lord are very, very important. One may be illiterate or incapable of understanding the philosophy, but if he partakes these three items, he will certainly be liberated without a delay.
Okay, so the Lord accepted, okay, this is a remnant, this is the prasad of the Lord, this sitting place, I'll accept it. But the Lord still had another objection, but I cannot eat all these huge preparations. Right? Tathapi etak anna खाऊना न जाए भट्ट कहे जानी खाओ यते कयु आए. So Lord said, I cannot eat so much. Bhattacharya said, I know how much you can eat. Then he says that you eat as Jagannath, you eat 52 times a day. Each time you eat hundreds of buckets of prasadam. And huge quantity of Mahaprasad if you see. Offered to Lord Jagannath, right? Hundreds of buckets, earthen buckets of prasad. And 52 times you eat.
In Dwarka, you eat at the house of 16,000 queens. Sarma Bhattacharya is saying. You eat in the house of 16,000 queens and you eat in the house of 18 mothers at Dwarka. Right? Vasudeva had 18 wives. You eat and then you also eat at the house of numerous friends and relatives in Dwarka, in the house of 18 mothers, 16,108 queens, and also in the house of many other relatives and friends. You daily eat. And in Vrindavan, you eat at the house of not just what Mother Yashoda gives, but in the house of also your father's elder brothers, your father's younger brothers, your maternal uncles, the husbands of your father's sisters, right? Right? Mama, Taya, sabke ghar mein, aap Vrindavan mein, you know, eat in all of these houses, right? And also there are many cowherd boyfriends, you eat with them also. Right? So therefore, in so many houses you eat. And during Govardhan Yajna, you eat the whole Annakoot. Right? So Sarma Bhattacharya is citing all these case studies or examples to show that how much capacity you have to eat. Right? And therefore he says, in comparison to what you all can eat, this is not just one morsel for you. Right? This is just a simple one morsel. You are the Supreme Personality of Godhead, whereas I am most insignificant living entity. Therefore, please accept a little quantity of food from my house. My Lord, just accept this one morsel. Right? So Lord is saying, I cannot eat so much. Sarma Bhattacharya, this is only one morsel for you, my Lord. Right? I am insignificant devotee, I can't offer much. This is a small offering of mine. So please do not reject this and just accept one morsel. Right? So when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard this, he smiled with great pleasure and then he sat down. So Bhattacharya, apart from what all he has cooked, he had brought various Mahaprasad of Lord Jagannath also, and various items. So the Lord began to eat. It's mentioned that in verse 245 that the son-in-law of Sarma Bhattacharya was Amogha, who was married to Sarma Bhattacharya's daughter, right, Shathi. So Amogha has been mentioned here as Kulina Nindak Tehu. Right? He was he was born in an aristocratic family, but he had actually become a great fault founder and blasphemer. Right? So he wanted to come, right? He wanted to come inside Sarma Bhattacharya's house and see how much Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is eating. But Sarma Bhattacharya was guarding the threshold of the house with a stick in his hand. Right? Sarma Bhattacharya already knew and he was expecting that. However, as soon as Bhattacharya went to serve prasadam to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, right, suddenly Amogha, who was hiding nearby, he came inside and he saw so many items there, right, and then immediately spoke, this food is sufficient for 10 to 12 people to eat. One sannyasi eating so much alone, right, he spoke like that. And Sarma Bhattacharya looked back and with red eyes, and immediately Amogha fled. And Sarma Bhattacharya, with a stick in his hand, ran behind to strike Amogha, but he could not catch Amogha. Right? And then Sarma Bhattacharya, he began to curse his son-in-law and call him ill names. Right? And when Sarma Bhattacharya was cursing his son-in-law, right, Sridhara Mahaprabhu, he was just simply laughing. Right? Sridhara Mahaprabhu was just laughing. It's mentioned when Shathi's mother, Sridhara Mahaprabhu's wife, she heard this criticism of Amogha, right? This critical remarks, she began to strike her head and chest. And she started again and again saying, let my daughter become a widow. Right? She again and again was saying, let my daughter become a widow. Text 253. Duhar dukh dekhi prabhu, duha prabhu diya.
तुहार इच्छा ते भोजन कैला तुष्ट हैया, आचमन करैया भट्ट दिला मुखवास, तुलसी मंजरी लवंग इलाची रसवास, सर्वंगे परायला प्रभु रामाल्य चंदन, दंडवत हैया भले सदन्य वचन।
Seeing the lamentation of both husband and wife, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu tried to pacify them according to their desires. He ate the prasadam and was very satisfied. After Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu finished eating, the Bhattacharya poured water for the Lord to wash his mouth, hands and legs, and offered him flavored spices, tulsi manjiris, cloves and cardamom. The Bhattacharya then placed flower garlands over Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and smeared his body with a sandalwood pulp. After offering obeisances, the Bhattacharya submitted the following humble statement.
Okay, so so when the Lord saw both of them were very unhappy, right? Duhar dukha dekhi, 253. Prabhu duha prabhu diya. He pacified both of them. They were very unhappy, and the Lord ate as per their satisfaction. Right, he ate everything, whatever they wanted, in whichever way they wanted to honor him, he honored everything. Just imagine, you know, you go to someone's house for prasadam, right, and you're eating, and someone says, so much, you're eating so much, right, can you take the next morsel? And if someone talks like that, you can't have the next morsel, you know, your mind will be afflicted with those sharp words, right? Actually, no one can, actually, in one sense, right? If you're sitting and eating, you know, and the horse wants you to eat nicely, and the, you know, horse, some relative says, Hare Krishna wale log itna khate hain, humko pata hi nahi tha. Right? Like that. One cannot eat any further morsel, but the Lord, being very magnanimous in the sense of, he has no, you know, false pride, false ego at all. Although Amukha criticized him as eating so much, he wanted to eat just a little bit, but he was, Sarva Bhattacharya obliged him to accept so much, and then Amukha criticized him. And the Lord, still, even after Amukha criticized him, just in order to make his devotees happy, the Lord honored it still, everything. He ate still everything, right? Which, you know, after being criticized, no one can do it actually. The Lord happily, right? He was again very satisfied with their pure love. Very happily honored it. Just so that Sarva Bhattacharya and Shathira Mata, they don't feel, you know, distressed. Don't feel distressed. And then the Lord did Achman, they gave him Mukhvas, Tulsi Manjari, various kind of flavored substances. The Lord honored that all. Sarva Bhattacharya offered Chandan and flower garland. The Lord accepted it all gratefully. Right? And then finally, Sarva Bhattacharya, he told the Lord, he submitted this following pati, right? Following plea he submitted to the Lord. निंदा कराई थे तो माँ आनी नु निज घरे ऐ अपराध प्रभु क्षमा कर मोरे। प्रभु कहे निंदा न है सहज कहिला, यहाँ ते तो मार की बा अपराध हैला।
I brought you to my house just to have you blasphemed. This is a great offense. Please excuse me, I beg your pardon. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, what Amogha has said is correct. Therefore, it is not blasphemy. What is your offense?
Okay, so Sarva Bhattacharya was so distraught. Both were, they said, my Lord, I invited you to my house and have you blasphemed. Please forgive this offense. Lord said, wait a minute. Where is the offense? What he said is true. Right? This is food, at least 10-12 people easily eat this food.
Not said ninda nahi, he didn't blaspheme. What he spoke is true. Can you imagine? Right? Lord said no. There was no ninda. What he said is right. That this food can be eaten by 10-12 people easily. How much you prepared? Right? Prabhu kahe ninda nahe, sahaja karila, kahila. He spoke the right thing. Tomara, ihante tomara kiba abaradhaila. How is you have committed any offense? No. There is no offense on your part. What the Moga spoke is also right. Right? So just see how now the Lord, He herein, how the Lord is so magnanimous, He is taking the literal meaning of Amoga. He is taking the literal meaning of Amoga's word, He is accepting that, and He is neglecting all the envious intentions of Amoga. Right? And if you see in the case of Putana, the Lord neglected something which was obvious and only took over the intention that He has come to feed me. Although there was envious intention, but again therein, the Lord accepted again the literal action that He has come to feed me. Right? And if you see, so the whole point is, the Lord may accept something, sometimes He may accept the literal and neglect the envious intentions, right? Other times He may neglect the literal action and only take the intention. So whichever is good, the Lord is so sargrahi that He just accept something good, right? So Lord accepted just the literal meaning of the line, that this can be eaten by 10-12 people. He completely neglected the envious intention. And if you say contrast it with Vidur's wife feeding banana peels. It is not an edible thing, banana peels. Right? It's not an edible thing. But the Lord accepted that. With Lord saw that she has that intention, that pure intention to serve me and feed me. So Lord accepted that also. Right? So he neglected the literal, what is the face, you know, that the literal thing being offered, and simply accepted the good intention. So therefore the Lord is, He sees, you, if the literal thing is acceptable, He accepts the literal thing, neglect the envious intention. If the intention is good, He accepts the intention, neglect the literally what is being offered to Him. That is not. So how the Lord, you know, just is so sargrahi, he just tends to accept whatever is the good and neglect the, you know, the bad aspect of it. Right? So therefore here also the Lord acting as a sargrahi, He accepted just the literal meaning of the words and neglected the ill intention of Amogha and said, no, there is no aparad. What He said is very right, very true. Right? So after saying this, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left and He returned to His residence. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya followed Him. And Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was saying so many things in self-reproach. He was condemning Himself again and again. But the Lord pacified him, right? The Lord very carefully pacified him and then He sent him back home. Read the next two translations.
After returning to his home, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya consulted with his wife, the mother of Shati. After personally condemning himself, he began to speak as follows. If a man who blasphemes Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is killed, his sinful action may be atoned.
Okay, so you can take a break and we'll study this from here onwards, after the break. Krishna, Krishna.
कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम हरे राम राम हरे हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे राम 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 हरे हरे। Any other example of Krishna accepting just the sar, whether it could be literal meaning or sometime the literal thing is not proper, he may accept good intention. Accepting just something good. Any other example? Two thieves. Okay. Yeah. They wanted to steal, but anyway, the Lord accepted their ride, accepted the sweetmeats from them. This way they got the credit of serving him actually. Any other example from Bhagavatam, from anywhere? Bhrigumuni. Yeah. Bhrigumuni kicked on the Lord's chest. He neglected the action per se and, you know, didn't feel offended. Huh? Who? Puranic story. Moss on the altar. In this way the Lord accepts just the, you know, the good part or the sense, whether that lies in the intention or in the action, right? Either way. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya says, if the man who blasphemed Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is killed, his sinful action may be atoned. Right? And then Hari Bhakti Vilas, many verses are given like that. Just read this first paragraph in a conversation between.
Conversation between Markandeya and Bhagiratha, it is said, my dear king, one who derides an exalted devotee loses the results of his pious activities, his opulence, his reputation and his sons. Vaishnavas are all great souls. Whoever blasphemes them falls down to the hell known as Maharaurava, accompanied by his forefathers. Whoever kills or blasphemes a Vaishnava, and whoever is envious of a Vaishnava or angry with him, or whoever does not offer him obeisances or feel joy upon seeing him, certainly falls into the hellish conditions.
Okay, so there are many verses, and again, so these are the verses quoted from the Skanda Puran in the Hari Bhakti Vilas, dangers against the Vaishnava offense. And further, there are further such verses quoted giving warning against the
Vaishnava offense. So Sir Mahabhat Acharya continues, read 262 onwards.
Sarva Bhattacharya continued, or if I give up my own life, this sinful action may be atoned. However, neither of these ideas is befitting because both the bodies belong to Brahmanas. Instead, I shall never see the face of that blasphemer. I reject him and give up a relationship with him. I shall never even speak his name. Inform my daughter Sati to abandon her relationship with her husband because he has fallen down. When the husband falls down, it is the wife's duty to relinquish the relationship.
Okay, so Swarupa Bhattacharya says, he's talking to Shathira Mata, that inform my daughter to abandon her relationship with her. I also give up all my relationship with him. I don't want to see him. I don't want to speak of his name again. Right? And then, Patim ta patitam tejet. If the patim becomes patit, right? Then he can be actually, the relationship may be given up. So in the purport again, first Prabhupada quotes that how, commenting on the last two verses, 260-263, Sarva Bhattacharya says, if he is killed, if I kill myself, then a sinful action can be atoned. But then both bodies belong to Brahmana, so it's improper. Right? So in the beginning of the purport, Prabhupada talks of how a Brahmana should not be killed. That is, literally body, he should not be killed. And then in the second half, Prabhupada gives the quotations of how if the husband falls down, the wife can relinquish her relationship. Right? And he quotes fifth canto verse, if you see in one of the, in the third line of this paragraph in the middle, na patischa sasyan, na mochet, na mochedya samupeti mrityam. Right? Janina Sasyat. So all that verse is there in the fifth canto. That verse is quoted, and then example of the Dujpatnis, right, who gave up their connection, but they never criticized for that, right? They disobeyed their husband. So in this way, giving those examples, Prabhupada supports what Sarva Bhattacharya is saying. Yeah. Wife can relinquish the relationship. Then that wife is not criticized. Especially here is if the husband is fallen in terms of that he becomes blasphemer of the Vaishnavas. Right? Here the offense is very grave. We see examples where the husband is sinful, that prostitute, husband is attracted to one prostitute lady, and then his wife carried him on a basket, the leper, you know the story. She could even stop the movement of the sun. Right? There's a story of a chaste wife carrying her husband in a basket so that he can enjoy with the prostitute he was attracted to. Later he felt repentant. While coming back, his body touched, and which was the name of the Muni, his body touched his legs outside the basket being carried by the wife. And Markandeya Muni or some Muni, and he cursed that tomorrow on sunrise her husband will die. So because of her chastity, she could stop the movement of the sun. Right? And only when Lord himself came and promised that, yes, we will revive your husband, then actually the movement of the sun again began. There is a story like that. Right? So, yes, there are so many wives who did not abandon their sinful husband. Right? By their chastity and the service, they could revive. Right? They could revive. But here is a case of where where a person is actually becomes offensive to the Lord or the demi or his devotees, right? The person becomes offensive, then the wife may relinquish her relationship. And because if you see in the case of Brahmanas also, they refuse the Supreme Lord, right? They refused to serve the Supreme Lord. So they actually, in one sense, they were fallen, right? And they, in order to serve the Supreme Lord, the wife, they relinquished their relationship and went away, knowing that the husband may not accept. That is quoted. Right? That example is quoted over here. And herein also, Amogha actually criticized the Supreme Lord. There was Rama Bhattacharya saying, he has fallen. He is not exactly saying he is sinful. So even if the husband is sinful, wife should try to serve and help the husband come out of the sinful nature. Right? So here the patit word specially has the connotation that person has become offensive to the Lord. So that in this way Amogha criticized the Lord, and Sarvam Bhattacharya said, I will give up all relation, tell my daughter also to give up all relation.
सही रात्रे मोघ कहाँ पलाया गेला प्रातः काले तार विशुच का व्याधि हैला अमोगो मरनेरा सुनी कहे भट्टाचार्या सहाय हैया देव कैला मोर कार्या ईश्वरे त अपराध फले तत्क्षण एत बलि पड़े धुई शास्त्री रावचन.
That night Amogha, Sarva Bhattacharya's son-in-law, fled, and in the morning he immediately felt sick with the cholera. When Bhattacharya heard that Amogha was dying of cholera, he thought, it is a favor of providence that he is doing what I want to do. When one offends the Supreme Personality of Godhead, karma immediately takes effect. After saying this, he recited two verses from the revealed scriptures.
Okay, so two verses recited. How? One verse to support what is said in 267, one verse to support what is said in 268. And in 260 he said, oh, what I wanted to do, the Dev is doing for me. So he said one verse to that effect. And secondly, whenever there is aparad, that aparad immediately brings disaster. Right? In this way, he quoted two verses.
महता ही प्रयत्ने न हस्ति अश्वरथपत्ति भी अस्माभिर्यदनुष्ठे हम गंधर्वस्तदनुष्ठितम्.
We have to arrange with a great endeavor by collecting elephants, horses, chariots and infantry soldiers has already been accomplished by the Gandharvas.
So Bhimsen speak, when the Gandharvas, they arrest all the Kauravas, right? Mahabharata story is there. So they arrest all of them, and then the Kauravas, they sought the help of the Pandavas actually. And Bhimsen said, actually what we want to accomplish with such great effort has been easily accomplished by Gandharvas. So our task has been, Deva is helping us. Right? That is this verse to that effect. And 270 verse is the effect that how the aparad to great souls bring disaster.
Ayushriyam yashodharamam lokanashisha evava Anti Shrayamsi Sarvani Pumso Mahadati Kramat.
When a person mistreats the great souls, his lifespan, opulence, reputation and religion, position and good fortune are all destroyed.
Okay, so this is spoken by Shukadeva Goswami in the beginning to show that how the demons, when they offend the great souls, devotees, they are sure to be losing everything, all good fortune. Okay. Read the translations.
At this time, Gopinath Acharya went to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and Lord asked him about the events taking place in Sarvam Bhattacharya's house. Gopinath Acharya informed the Lord that both the husband and the wife were fasting, and that their son-in-law Amogha was dying of cholera. As soon as Chaitanya Mahaprabhu heard that Amogha was going to die, he immediately ran to him in a great haste. Placing his hand on Amogha's chest, he spoke as follows. The heart of a Brahmana is by nature very clean. Therefore, it is a proper place for Krishna to sit. Why have you allowed the chandala of jealousy to sit here also? In this way, you have contaminated the most purified place, your heart. However, due to association of Sarva Bhattacharya, all your contamination is now vanquished. When a person's heart is cleansed of all contamination, he is able to chant the Mahamantra Hare Krishna. Therefore, Amoga, get up and chant Hare Krishna Mahamantra. If you do so, Krishna will unfallingly bestow mercy upon you.
Okay, so the so Lord is saying that you are a Brahmana, your heart should be a nice place for Krishna to reside, and you have contaminated your heart. Right? And the Lord is saying, but however, due to the association of Sarva Bhattacharya, now all your contamination is gone. And now your heart is clean, right, by the association of Sarva Bhattacharya, and then now you should chant the holy name of the Lord. Right? So Prabhupada writes, in the first paragraph, 7th or 8th line, a Brahmana can chant the Hare Krishna mantra on the platform of Namabhas, but not on the platform of pure vibration. When a Brahmana engages in the Lord's service, fully understanding his eternal relationship, his devotional service is called a Bidhe. When one attains that stage, he is called a Bhagavat or a Vaishnava. And further, in the third paragraph, the verse is quoted, Brahmana nam sahasrebhya satrayaji vishishyate satrayaji sahasrebhya sarva vedant paraga sarva vedant vitkotya vishnu bhakto vishishyate. Out of many thousands of brahmanas, one may become qualified to perform yajna. Out of many thousands of such qualified brahmanas, one may be fully aware of the Vedanta philosophy. Out of many millions of such learned Vedanta scholars, there may be one Vishnu Bhakta or devotee of Vishnu. It is he who is most exalted. Right? So, Amoga was already a Brahmana. So Lord says, your heart should be pure. Now you chant the holy name of the Lord and become a Vaishnava. So therefore, Prabhupada is showing that the position of, you know, Brahmana has to gradually purify himself further, render devotional service to become a Vaishnava. So that is the theme of the purport. Shuni Krishna Krishna Bali Amoga Uthila Premun Made Mat Haiya Nachite Lagila Kampa Ashru Pulak Stambha Shveda Swaro Bhanga Prabhu Hase Dekhi Tar Premera Taranga Prabhu Racharane Dhari Kareya Vinaye Aparadha Shama More Prabhu Dayamaye.
After hearing Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and being touched by him, Amoga, who was on his deathbed, immediately stood up and began to chant the holy name of Krishna. Thus he became mad with ecstatic love and began to dance emotionally. While Amoga danced in ecstatic love, he manifested all the ecstatic symptoms: trembling, tears, jubilation, trance, perspiration, and faltering of voice. Seeing these waves of ecstatic emotion, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu began to laugh. Amoga then fell before the Lord's lotus feet and submissively said, "O merciful Lord, please excuse my offense."
Okay, so now Amoga began to beg forgiveness, and he began to repent for his criticism of the Lord. Ei char mukhe tomar karinu nindane eta bali apana gale chadai apane chadaite gal phulaila हाते धरी गोपीनाथ आचार्य निषेधिला प्रभु आश्वासन करे स्पर्शी तार गात्र सार्वभौम संबंधित तुमी मोर स्नेह पात्र.
Not only did Amoga beg the Lord's pardon, but he also began slapping his own cheek, saying, By this mouth I have blasphemed you. Indeed, Amoga continued slapping his face over and over until his cheeks were swollen. Finally, Gopinath Acharya stopped him by catching hold of his hand. After this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu pacified Amoga by touching his body and saying, "You are the object of my affection because you are the son-in-law of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya."
Okay, so the Lord Himself pacified Amoga and the Lord is saying, "Sarvabhauma sambandhe tumi mor sneha patra." Right? You are the object of my affection because you are related to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Sarvabhauma grahe dasa dasiye kukur. Seha mor priya anya jan rahu dur. Aparad nahi sada lau Krishna naam. Eta bali prabhu aila sarvabhauma sthan. प्रभु देखी सर्वभौम धरिला चरणे प्रभु तारे आलिंगिया वसीला आसने
वन इन सर्वभौम भट्टाचार्य हाउस इज वेरी डियर टू मी इंक्लूडिंग हिज मेड्स एंड सर्वेंट्स एंड इवन हिज डॉग व्हाट टू स्पीक ऑफ हिज रिलेटिव्स अमोगा ऑलवेज चैंट द हरे कृष्ण महामंत्र एंड डू नॉट कमिट एनी फर्दर ऑफेंसेस आफ्टर गिविंग अमोगा दिस इंस्ट्रक्शन Shri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. Upon seeing the Lord, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya immediately caught hold of his lotus feet. The Lord embraced him and then sat down.
Prabhu kahe amoga shishu ki batar dosh. Kene upavas kar kene kar rosh. Utasnan kar dekh Jagannath mukh. शीघ्र आसी भोजन कर तबे मोरा सुख तावत रही बामी इथाए वसिया यावत ना खाइबे तुमी प्रसाद आसिया
तेना महाप्रभु पैसिफाइड सर्वभौम सेइंग आफ्टर ऑल अमोगा योर सन इन लॉ इज अ चाइल्ड सो व्हाट इज हिज फॉल्ट व्हाई आर यू फास्टिंग एंड व्हाई आर यू एंग्री Just get up and take your bath and go see the face of Lord Jagannath. Then return here to eat your lunch. In this way, I shall be happy. I shall stay here until you return to take Lord Jagannath's remnants for your lunch.
Right, the Lord had heard from Gopindracharya that Amoga is dying of cholera, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and Shathi Mata, they both are fasting. And immediately the Lord had gotten up. He went and not just excuse, gave love for himself to Amoga, right? And then came to the house of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. And now the Lord told that, right, that Amoga is a child, right? You should not be angry with him. You are his maintainer. He is being maintained by you. And the Lord said, "Now you get up, see Lord Jagannath." And the Lord said, "I will stay here till you get up, take your bath, take darshan of the Lord, and then eat your lunch." Right? So the Lord said, "I will stay here, right, till the time you honor your food." Right? So this is another example of Lord's being very personal care, although he is maintaining millions of living entities, right? But he is also personally caring for individual devotee. And remember, he changed his itinerary to give solace to that Brahmana at Madurai, right? Near Madurai, that Brahmana was there. Rama Bhakta, who was feeling so much agony that Mother Sita has been touched by, Lord came all the way back, brought that old palm leaf to give relief to his devotee. Right? So while the Lord is taking care of and maintaining millions of living entities, simultaneously he is very personal with individual, right, devotees like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. So the Lord is saying, "I will stay here till you break your fast." Right.
प्रभु पद धरी भट्ट कहिते लागिला मरित अमोग तारे केने जी आईला। प्रभु कहे अमोग शिशु तो मारा बालक, बालक दोष ना लय पिता तहाते पालक। एबे वैष्णव हैला तार गेला अपराध, तहारा उपरे एबे करह प्रसाद।
Catching the hold of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's lotus feet, the Bhattacharya said, "Why did you bring Amoga back to life? It would have been better had it died." Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu said, "Amoga is a child and your son. The father does not take the faults of his son seriously, especially when he is maintaining him. Now that he has become Vaishnava, he is offenseless. You can bestow your mercy upon him without hesitation."
Okay, so the Lord first of all said that Amoga is like, you know, your own child or your own son, like son-in-law is also like the son. He's a child, he's like a son, and you are his maintainer. A maintainer should not take the offense of whom he is maintaining very seriously. Right? So the Lord also, you know, as a maintainer, he doesn't take the offenses of the jivas. Although he supplies everything to the jivas, living entities, and the living entities say there is no God, right? Or they criticize or they blaspheme the Lord, but the Lord doesn't take that offense, right? There is a story that how there was one Brahmana who fed a beggar, and then the Brahmana talked of Krishna, and the beggar said, "Who is God? There is no God." And the Brahmana became so sorry. He said, "Oh, I have made such an offense in feeding an atheist. Today I have served an atheist. I committed such an offense like that." And the Lord appeared to him later that night. He said, "Why you consider yourself to be so offensive?" He said, "I am feeding all the atheists every day." Right? "I am maintaining all the atheists. People, so many people are criticizing him. You have fed only one day. I am feeding millions of atheists every day." Right? "Why you should feel so sorry?" Right? So like that. So the Lord, you know, what he's saying also, so many people, those whom he is maintaining, you know, all the jivas, they commit so many offenses actually toward the Lord. Right? But the Lord, he has such a magnanimous heart, he forgives all the offenses. So therefore, what the Lord is speaking over herein, actually, he does that. Right? He's doing every day. I think those who are blasphemers, they will go to the darkest region of the hell. Right. Okay. I mean, those who commit sin, they are also destined to go to hell in one sense, the sinful people. Right. Yeah, so they are supposed to go to hell. Then right. Yeah, he's maintaining all, including atheists. Yes. So you are saying that why should the Lord punish them? He maintains, but a part of his maintenance is he tries to rectify. He is supplying all the necessities to all the living entities. He gives them many opportunities to rectify. Right? The Lord sent many of his devotees, has given scriptures. That is the process of rectification. And punishment to all the living entities is also a part of rectification. So here in this case of Amoga, although Amoga should have suffered, but herein Amoga got the Lord's special mercy because of his relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Right? So the Lord is so affectionate to his devotees that he is specially inclined, right, or those who are connected to his pure devotees, they are the recipient of his special mercy. His own word, right? Sarvabhauma grahe dasa dasi ye kukur sehe mor priya anya jan rahu dur. Right? So anyone who is connected with Lord's pure devotee, they become the recipient of the Lord's special mercy, because as the very first verse of this chapter mentioned, right? Gaura swam bhakta vakshatam. Although the Amoga criticized the Lord, but the Lord not just forgave him, but he accepted him. Right? Sarvabhauma grihe bunjan so nindakam amogakam angi kurvan sutam chakre gaura swam bhakta vakshatam. Angi kurvan, the Lord accepted him as his devotee, not just rectified his offense, but also accepted him within his inner circle because he is controlled by the love of his devotees. So therefore the whole point is of this chapter is somehow if we can get connected, right, through service, some way or the other, if some get connected to the pure devotees of the Lord and they have, and we can please them at some point of time, right, then by that relationship, right, Krishna is highly obliged that way. So then the Lord pointed out that how now Amoga has become actually a Vaishnava, he began to chant the holy names. So now you can give your mercy without any hesitation to him. Verse 293? Read that. Or have we already done 294, right? 295 we have to read? 293? Yeah, 293. So Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya told the Lord, my Lord, you please go and you take darshan of Lord Jagannath. I will also take bath and see Lord Jagannath and then I will return and honor. So the Lord told Gopinath Acharya, right? Earlier the Lord wanted to be there to see Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. The Lord told Gopinath Acharya, you stay here and you give me the news that Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya has honored Prasad. Again showing, Lord showing very deep personal affection towards his devotees. And saying this, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he went to see Lord Jagannath. And then Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya took bath, went to take darshan, and then he returned to his house and accepted prasadam. 296. Sayamoga haila prabhura bhakta ekant preme nache krishna nam loye mahashant aiche chitra lila kare sachiranandan yehi dekhe shune tar vismay haye man ऐसे भट्ट गृह करे भोजन विलास तार मध्य नाना चित्र चरित्र प्रकाश.
Thereafter, Amoga became an annalled devotee of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He danced in ecstasy and peacefully chanted the holy name of Lord Krishna. In this way, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu performed his various pastimes. Whoever sees them as or hears them recounted becomes truly astonished. Thus Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu enjoyed eating in Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya house. With that one pastime, many wonderful pastimes were manifest.
Sarvabhauma ghare yai bhojana charit sarvabhauma prema yaha haila vidit shathira matar prema ara prabhura prasad भक्त संबंधे यहाँ शमीला अपराध श्रद्धा करिए लीला सुनय चन अचिरात पाए से चैतन्य चरण श्री रूप रघुनाथ पदे आर आश चैतन्य चरितामृत कहे कृष्णदास.
These are the peculiar characteristics of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's pastimes. Thus the Lord ate in the Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's house. And in this way, Sarvabhauma's love for the Lord has become very well known. Thus I have related the ecstatic love of Sarvabhauma's wife, who is known as the Mother Shati. I have also related Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's great mercy, which he manifested by excusing Amoga's offense. He did so due to Amoga's relationship with the devotee. Whoever hears these pastimes of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu with the faith and love will attain shelter at the Lord's lotus feet very soon. Praying at the lotus feet of Sri Rupa Raghunath, always desiring their mercy, I, Krishna, narrate Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita following their footsteps.
Read the purport of word 300, verse 300.
Amoga was an offender because he blasphemed the Lord. As a result, he was about to die of cholera. Amoga did not receive an opportunity to be freed from all offenses after being attacked by the disease. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya and his wife were very dear to the Lord. Because of their relationship, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu excused Amoga. Instead of being punished by the Lord, he was saved by the Lord's mercy. All this was due to the unflinching love of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Externally, Amoga was Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya's son-in-law and he was being maintained by the Sarvabhauma. Consequently, if Amoga were not excused, his punishment would have directly affected Sarvabhauma. Amoga's death would have indirectly brought about the death of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya.
Okay, so bhakta sambandhe yaha shamila aparad. Although Amoga, by the nature's course, by the general course, he would actually have died, right? But that would have indirectly caused the death of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya. Right? Therefore, bhakta sambandhe yaha shamila aparad. The Lord, understanding Amoga's relationship with Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, forgave Amoga, gave him love for Krishna, right, and made him a Vaishnava. Right? So in this way, basically, this last section shows that somehow, you know, one can serve and please the devotees of the Lord, then one becomes the recipient of Lord's mercy.